Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Samach Tes. We left off Kuf Samach Ches, six lines up from the bottom. Today's daf is going to focus pretty much exclusively on somebody who lost a shtar and whether we're able to write a replacement shtar for that person, what the perils might be in writing a replacement shtar. And in the context of these discussions, we touch on many other fundamental concepts that occur repeatedly in connection with the discussion of a shtar. Among them, the machlokas of whether we write a shover, whether we write a receipt if a loan is partially paid or not. So we'll see what that machlokas is about. And another fundamental issue that we touch on in today's shiur is going to be on achrayus, the concept of achrayus, the concept of achrayus in a shtar, that if you sell something to somebody and that item that you sell winds up being repossessed by a creditor of the seller, if the buyer then has rights to go claim not only against the seller for the loss, that, but also against prior purchasers, of nechassim from the seller who may have bought after the initial sale, but in the interim, the seller no longer owns those items. Are you allowed to go after those other buyers as well? So that's the concept of achrayus. So we're going to see in the Gemara today, machlokas, on whether achrayus is toh sofer or not, whether we assume that all shtaros are designed to be written with achrayus, and therefore if you have a shtar that's written without achrayus, it's a mistake, and we can assume achrayus, or if there is no achrayus, unless achrayus is actually written into the shtar. So those are among the topics that we'll cover today, but again, primarily focusing on the issue of what to do when a person loses his shtar. So with that, let's pick up from Kuf Samaches, six lines up from the bottom, second to last word on the line, Tanu Rabbanan. So Tanu Rabbanan, Aresha Bavi Amar Avad Shtar Chovi. If a person comes to Beis Din and says, I lost my shtar chov, Sa'afal Pi Sha'amru Edim, even if Edim come and say, Anu Kasavnu V'chasamnu V'nasanenu Lo, that we were the ones who wrote the shtar, we signed on the shtar, we saw that he actually gave the loan with the shtar. The Rashbam says the reason that they have to say that v'nasananu is lest you say, oh, maybe he drew up the entire shtar, but he never actually borrowed the money, but the loan never actually took place. In which case, you're gonna have a guy that's holding a shtar. He may have intended to give a loan, but he never actually gave a loan. And now if you allow him to collect from the Love, you're going to enable him to defraud the Love, because the Love never actually borrowed. But that's why they say Venasananu Lo. That's why they say that we were the ones, we did everything soup to nuts. We wrote the shtar, we signed on the shtar, we saw the loan transaction itself. Ain kos ven lo es ashtar. Nevertheless, even if you have these edim who say, we swear to you, we saw this shtar, it did exist. Now he lost it, we don't write a replacement shtar. Why don't we write a replacement shtar? We don't write a replacement shtar because, true, there are edim who are attesting to what was written on the original shtar, but pay attention to what the edim say. There were no edim on the fact that he actually lost the shtar. So that's the problem. That's why we don't write the replacement shtar. So Eikos Velo Es Ashtar. Says the Gemara, now a limitation on this rule. Bamedvarim Amurim B'shtarei Halva. When are we talking about? We're only talking about Shtarei Halva. Aval Shtarei Mekach U'Memkar. But a bill of sale, Kosvin, that we do write a replacement, chutz min achrayus shabo. However, we will not add the concept of achrayus into this replacement shtar. So let's see the Rashbam over here. So he says, first of all, by shtarei halva, you don't write a replacement shtar. Safilu imbo lichtov chutz min achrayus shabo. Ain kosvin. How about by a shtar halva? Can you write a replacement shtar halva if you leave out the achrayus, just like by a shtar mekach u'memkar? Says the Rashbam, no. The asu lemitrufa mibnei chari v'shema lo avad arishon inami dil machazor amatzo v'tara v'hadar. Arif. You know, and the problem is the problem is, says the Rashbam, is that we're afraid of a double collection. We're afraid that the guy never actually lost the first star. Now you're going to write him a second star. Now he has two staros that Reuven owes him $100. Now he's going to collect. Now he's going to be able to collect $100 from Reuven two separate times, which is not appropriate. Which is not appropriate. Or we're afraid that maybe actually Shimon paid him back. Maybe Reuven paid him back, rather, and that's why he wants a separate shtar to enable collecting a second time. But by shtari mekach u'memkar, said the Rashbam, im ramru edim, kasavnu v'nesanenu lo, if the edim actually say, we wrote the shtar, we signed on the shtar, we saw the shtar given over, kosven lo acher, we write him another shtar, chutz me achrayas shabo, however, we leave out the achrayas in it. Me'achar she'emes hadavar she'zeh karka konui lo, because after all, it's the truth that this karka is his. Bu'yare pen yishtaka hadavar v'ya'arur alav shelo kedin. In other words, who's complaining that they lost the shtar mekach u'memkar? It's the buyer who's complaining that they lost the shtar. Why does the buyer want the shtar? The buyer wants the shtar not only so that if a creditor of the seller comes to collect the field from him, he could then go against other purchasers of the seller. He simply wants the shtar as a raya that he owns the field. So that's why we write him a shtar without achrayas. Because the first come on shtar denan the kasvunin the lo legmid vebe mimeshabdi v'lo b'mnei chari. So the Rashbam clues us into the formulation that we're going to write if we're writing a shtar without achrayas. We basically make it clear that this shtar is only a shtar raya. It is not a shtar for the purpose of permitting collection from other nechasim of the seller, be they nechasim that he currently has in his possession, be they nechasim that he already sold out of his possession. So again, so far we've seen if a guy loses a shtar chov by a shtar halva, he's up a creek, we do not write in an extra shtar. By a shtar mekach u'memkar, we will write him a replacement shtar, but we'll write it without the achrayas. Says the Gemara, flipping over to Kuf Tzamach Tesamet Aleph, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Af Shtore Mekach U'Memkar Ein Kosvin, that we also don't write a replacement shtar by a shtar Mekach U'Memkar, V'chein Hoya Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, and why? Why don't we write a replacement shtar by a Mekach U'Memkar? Because Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel used to say, Hanose Matona L'Chaveiro V'Echzer Lo Es Hashtar, if a person writes a Matona to his friend, and then the friend returns the shtar matana to the giver, chazra matanaso. Then it's a retraction of the retraction of the matana. The chachamim omre matanaso kayemes. The chachamim say, no, if you give somebody a matana, the only way to give back the matana is to actually return the item. You can't return the shtar and then view the matana as being reversed somehow. You need an actual kinyan. So the shita of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel over here is one of, says the Rashbam, that he holds that osios are niknos b'mesira, that the osios, the words on the shtar, are kanui simply by giving over the shtar, and therefore, just like by matana, you have the ability to reverse a matana with returning of the shtar, so too by mekach u'memkar, we have the ability to reverse the mekach even through the giving back of the shtar. And so it turns out, why are we afraid to write the mocher a new shtar? We're afraid to write the lokeach a new shtar because we're afraid maybe the reason he doesn't have it is because he already gave it back to the mocher. And if he already gave it back to the mocher, then the item is no longer rightfully his. And if the item is no longer rightfully his, he has no business getting, obviously, a replacement. He has no business writing a replacement shtar. Okay, so says the Gemara Viter. So Amar Mar, Chutz Me Achrayas Shavo. So we write a replacement shtar for a Mekach u'Memkar, except for the Achrayas in the shtar. So my taima, so what's the reason? So Amar Rav Safra, we don't write two shtaros on a single field. Dilma ozel balchov v'torech le'lahai. We're afraid that maybe a balchov of the mocher is going to come and collect from the field that this lokeach bought. The ozel hai umapik chad, and this guy, this lokeach, is going to come and he's going to pull out one of his shtaros v'torech lekuchos, and he's going to collect the amount, he's going to collect the value of the field from other lekuchos of the mocher, the amarle lebalchov, and then the lokeach is going to say to the balchov, because the lokeach and the balchov are going to conspire to collect another field, from another buyer who previously bought from the mocher. So the lokeach, again, the lokeach had his field repossessed by a creditor of the mocher. The lokeach then repossesses a field from another buyer of the mocher. Now the lokeach says to the creditor, the original lokeach says to the creditor, do me a favor, shofli, leave me alone over here, leave me undisturbed on this field, the Akambe, so that I could establish possession over this field again, Vahadar Satirfan, and then come and repossess the field again from me in exchange for the obligation that the mocher owes to you. Umapik Achrina Vahadal Azur Vitarif Lakuchos Achrine. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to collect again from another lokeach. So in other words, what we're afraid of is if you write two shtaros, if the lokeach is holding two shtaros, we're afraid that if a balchov of the mocher ever comes to collect that field from the lokeach, because the halacha is if the balchov goes to the mocher and the mocher doesn't have any possessions that are unencumbered to collect from, you could go collect even from encumbered property. So you could collect even from property that is sold. So the balchov is going to go to this lokeach, is going to collect the karka from him. This lokeach now has a taina against the mocher, but the mocher doesn't have any possessions. But now he has a taina against other lekuchos from the mocher. So he's going to collect from another lokeach. Then he's going to basically say to the balchov, listen, you have a right to this land, but instead of collecting the land now, let's do the following trick. You let me stay here for another bit of time. Everybody's going to forget that I already collected from the first lokeach. Then you'll pretend to collect the karka from me again. Now I'm going to use my second shtar to collect from a second lokeach. So you're going to be able to perpetrate such a fraud. That's why we don't write two shtaros. That's why, I'm sorry, when we write the second shtar on the Mekach u'Memkar, we're going to write it without achrayas. So says the Gemara, but once we rip up the shtar of the malveh, b'may hadar tarifle. So hang on, says the Gemara. This whole fraud is premised on the fact that the malveh, that the creditor of the seller, is going to be able to collect the karka the first time, then is going to conspire with the lokeach to leave him in possession of the karka for 3 or 4 or 5 years, and then is going to collect from the karka a second time. But the first time the malveh of the mocher, the first time the creditor of the mocher comes to court and tries to collect the field from the lokeach, they're going to rip up his shtar. So, and forget about the shtar mekach, where we have two shtar mekachs that the lokeach's holding on. The malveh only has one shtar, so he's going to come once. We're going to rip up his shtar. How's he going to be able to come again and collect the field? And on account of his debt, on account of the debt that's owed to him, his shtar is already ripped up. So says the Gemara. So v'chitema d'lo karina. And if you want to say, well, maybe we're talking about a case where the shtar halva that the malva has was never ripped up. So how could that be? Via Amar Rav Nachman. But Rav Nachman said that kol tirfa delok sivbe, any collection warrant that is not written on it, karana l'shtare de malve, that we've ripped up the shtar of the malve, lav tirfahi, it's not a valid collection warrant. V'chal adrachta, and any repossession warrant, delok sivbe, that is not written in the warrant, karana l'tirfa, that we ripped up the collection warrant, lav adrachtahi, is not a valid repossession warrant. The chol shuma and any appraisal certificate, delok sivbe karana ladrachta, that's not written in it that we ripped up the repossession warrant, lav shumehi, it is not a valid appraisal certificate. So what's all this stuff? So the Rashbam fills us in on all this stuff, but the important thing to take away, even before we see the Rashbam, is that at every step in the process, if a person presents paperwork to the Beis Din, before issuing the next certificate or the next paperwork, the next piece of paperwork in that process, in the collection or the repossession process, we will rip up first the prior shtar. to make sure that you're never in a position where you can collect twice with the same shtar. So now let's see the Rashbam, three lines up from where they go medium size. V'yamar Rav Nachman, kachu aseder. This is the seder hadvarim over here. Malveh ba lebeistin, the malveh comes to beistin, v'tsoek ala loveh she'yifra lochovo. And he complains and he cries that the loveh should pay back the obligation. Umazminim le loveh bedina, and we invite the loveh to a din Torah, k'damrinan, as we say elsewhere. V'ilo asi, and if the loveh doesn't come, mishamtina le, then we put him in cherem. So we have tools in our toolkit available to incentivize the loveh to come to beistin. V'kosvin shtar tirfa lemalveh. Say, after the Lova comes to Beistin, we write a collection warrant on in favor of the Malve, sheyelech v'yefashves achar karkosov shel Lova, that he could go and he could search all the karkos of the Lova and see whether the Lova has any karka with which he can repay this obligation. V'komokom sheyimtze minachosov amelekuchos shekotsu mimenu achrekein, and if he finds any nechosim, if he finds any nechasim, either unencumbered or that he sold to lekuchos, that after that time, in other words, after the time of the debt, then yirish tara lebeistin shaloso a'ir, he should show his collection warrant to the basin of that city, wherever the property is located, v'yimsru lo karkos of lemalve, and they will give the karka to the malve. And then they'll write a repossession warrant. That he could then collect. He could then actually repossess the karka from the karka that he found in payment of his loan. However, the collection warrant they have to rip up. Lest the Malve go take that collection warrant then to another city where other karka of the Lova is found and try to collect from another lokeach of the Lova as well. The Ashuma Nechasim Kedin Shumas Beistin, and then they evaluate, they appraise the Nechasim like the din of appraisal of a basin, Kenavarsh Baba Bakama, Ukhvi Ashuma Yikhaim Bechovo. And according to the appraisal, he takes it in satisfaction of his debt, of the debt. V'yichtuvelo beistin shtar shumas anachasim ladas b'kama kiblam. And the beistin then writes an appraisal certificate so we know how much the appraised value of this karka is, and does the appraised value of the karka satisfy the full obligation or not. U'mishum deshuma hadra liyolam kishihilo mos lelove. When Beistin gives him the appraisal certificate, what they have to do is they have to rip up the repossession certificate, lest you try to collect again with the repossession certificate. So again, so the Rashbam explains over here what the whole procession is over here, that it's a very lengthy process. You start off with a loan document, then you have to collect on that. If you don't, you get a collection warrant to a repossession warrant to an appraisal certificate. But the point is, for our purpose, that at every stage in this process, whenever Basin's going to issue a new certificate or a new shtar, we always rip up the old shtar. So what were we, coming back to the Gemara, what were we afraid of? We were afraid that if we would write two shtaros to a lokeach, the lokeach is going to conspire with the malve of the mocher and is going to try to enable the malve of the mocher to collect twice on his loan. So says the Gemara, how's that ever going to happen? Because the loan document that the malve is holding is going to be ripped up the first time he gets a collection certificate. So that is never going to happen. So says the Gemara, Lo tzricha tekasi mekoach davase, that he's coming from the koach of his father. So what does it mean that he's coming from the koach of his father? So the Rashbam explains over here that he's not coming from the koach of a malve at all. In other words, he's not coming and saying that he has a loan out against the mocher, and that's why he's able to collect from his property. He's being toein that the mocher stole this property from his father, from his basically from his Yerusha. Because a person who has a taina like this, he doesn't have to present a shtar in order to make good on this claim, in order to exercise his rights in respect of his claim, he can exercise rights as long as he has Edim who come and say that, yes, this land actually used to belong to his father. Now, of course, if you're dealing with Edim, you can have Edim come and testify falsely in Beis Din if you want. And therefore, why are we afraid? We're afraid because we're not dealing with a case where we're coming with it, where we're dealing with a guy who's coming with a koach of a shtar. We're dealing with a guy who's coming mekoach Edim. So there is no shtar that you could rip up and ensure that there is no double collection. So Amalei Rav Acha Medifti LeRavina, says Rav Acha Medifti LeRavina, V'lomeli LeMeimar Le LeBal Chov Shofli B'Hai Ara Ve'ikam Ba. So the question is, going back to this fraud that we were afraid, this conspiracy that we were afraid the Lokech is going to play with the Malve, we said that the Malve is going to come, going to collect this Karka, and the Lokech is going to say, do me a favor, leave me undisturbed in this Karka for 4 or 5 years, people will forget that you took the karka from me. In the meantime, the lokeach, of course, went and collected karka from another lokeach of the mocher. Now, after 5 years, you come back and collect the karka again. Now I'm going to be able to collect karka from yet another lokeach of the mocher, and you will have collected twice, and we'll split whatever we collect twice. But says the Gemara, I don't understand. Why do we need him to say that, oh, leave me undisturbed for a certain period of time so that I can go collect again, ve'ikambe, typically, to keep on the nukit treish tare tarif adar tarif. So says the Gemara, why do you have to wait at all? The lokeach here is in a great position because he has two shtaros. So if you have two shtaros, don't wait 4 or 5 years until the malva could come and pretend to collect the karka from you again. The malva came and collected your karka. You have two shtaros, so good, shkoyach, go to two different lekuchos of the mocher and go collect from each of the lekuchos simultaneously. You don't have to wait at all, says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, no, imkei nefishe lea bale dina. No, because you're going to proliferate the number of litigants that he's currently litigating with if you were actually to try to collect from two different lekuchos simultaneously with two different shtaros. Basically, and the Rashbam explains, what's going to happen is that the more litigants you have, the more of a kol it has, and the more of a kol it has, the more likely it's going to be unearthed that you are actually conspiring with the Malva and that you're collecting fraudulently. That's why you want to limit the number of litigants that you have at any one time. So says the Gemara, so v'lichtav lei lahai shtara ma'alya. So says the Gemara now a question. Why don't we write to this guy, to the guy who lost the shtar, a shtar ma'alya, a valid shtar, v'lichtav tavra lamocher, and let's write a receipt for the mocher that says, "Kol shtare diyafko nal arada, any shtar that is presented for this karka, psulin is going to be posul, labar min diyafuk bizmana da." So, except for the shtar, which has the zman of the replacement shtar that we write. So in other words, what the Gemara is asking is, you told me that we don't write a replacement shtar because we're afraid that you're going to collect twice from lekuchos, from other lekuchos of the mocher. So when we write the replacement shtar, let's basically write a formula in the shtar so that it's apparent that the only shtar that's going to be valid against this mocher in respect of this karka is going to be this shtar. So if the guy comes with another shtar, we'll know that he's trying to perpetrate a fraud. We're not going to pay any attention to the shtar. So the Gemara's question basically is, I don't understand why you're telling me that I'm not allowed to write a replacement shtar. I should be able to write a replacement shtar, which has language in it that makes that replacement shtar the only viable shtar as to this karka. So says the Gemara, Amrua Rabbanan, Kamed Rav Papa, Amrila, Kamed Rav Ashi, Zosomeres, Ein Kosfin Shovar. Because we say that we don't write a Shovar. So why don't we write a Shovar? So says the Rashbam over here, the last Rashbam on the page, Zosomeres, Machlokas Tanomi, B'masnisim B'pirkin, it's a Machlokas in our Perek, B'shtore Alvos, which we'll see later on this week. The Ika Lamandi Amar Ein Kosfin, there's a Mandi Amar who says that we don't write a Shovar, Shaloye Tzorech Lishmar Shovro Minach Barim, that so that you shouldn't require the person who holds the Shovar to guard it from Achbarim, Umalve Sha'avad Shtaro, and therefore if a Malve loses his Shtar Chov, hifsid chovo, then he loses the ability to collect. Vuadin l'shtarei mekach, im avad halokeach shtaro, if the lokeach loses a shtar, lo nichtav le'shtar ma'alya, al smach ha'shover shabiyad ha'mocher, we're not going to write the lokeach a new shtar in reliance upon the shover that's in the hands of the mocher. Sherei lo yichtavu shover, dinimtza mocher, tzorek lishmor shover menachbarim. Because it turns out that the mocher is going to have to watch his shover from the achbarim to make sure that he keeps his shover, because now you're putting the onus on the mocher. Because if the mocher loses a shover, then he's going to be able to have a fraud perpetrated against him. The only way the mocher is going to be able to protect himself is if he keeps the shover. But forcing the mocher to keep a shover is a problem, says the Rashbam. Why? Because we always place the burden on the toein, not on the nitan. We always place the burden on the plaintiff, not on the defendant. So the potential defendant here is going to be the mocher. When the lokeach comes and claims that the mocher's balchov came and collected his karka, if we were to write a new shtar for the lokeach and write a receipt for the mocher, then we're going to be placing the burden on the defendant, not on the plaintiff. But that's the switch, because the burden always has to be on the plaintiff. We are never going to require the defendant to have the burden of watching his shover from achbarim to make sure that he preserves his shover. So basically, where we are in the Gemara is the Gemara said we don't write a replacement shtar with achrayas. Why not? We're afraid of this fraud. The shtar is going to be ripped up. There's not going to be a fraud. No, we're afraid that the guy's going to come and say that the mocher stole the property from his father. Now we're back to, well, what's the problem? Why don't we write a replacement shtar and then say that this is the, and then write the mocher receipt that says that the only shtar that's valid is this replacement one that was written? The Gemara answers, we can't write the mocher a receipt, because writing the mocher a receipt places the onus on the defendant, and we never place the onus on the defendant, we always place the onus on the plaintiff. Okay, now flipping over to Kuf Samach Tes and Mabez, the Gemara says, Amar Lahu, so says the Gemara, well, how do you know that it's connected to this machlokas? Yeah, there is a machlokas of whether we write a shover or not, but maybe bialma kosven shover, maybe ordinarily speaking, we do write a shover. The reason that we don't write a shover over here is because maybe the balchov is going to come, v'taref minei de lokeach, v'yazel iu, and then the lokeach is going to come, v'taref lekuchos, and he's going to collect from lekuchos, v'shover gabe lekuchos leka. Because what are you proposing? You're proposing that you write a shover to the mocher. You're proposing that you write a shover that the mocher is going to hold on to, that says that the only shtar that's viable, the only shtar that's enforceable, is this one, the replacement one that's written. But what's going to happen? The balchov is going to come and collect from the lokeach. The lokeach is then going to go directly to other lekuchos of the mocher and collect karka from them. Those are the lekuchos don't have the shover that the mocher has. So says the Gemara, the shover is ineffective to protect against this fraud. So says the Gemara, but sof lekuchos lav amri da'ara hadre. So, aren't the lekuchos going to go back to the mocher then and taina, hey mocher, you deadbeat, we had to give back these karkos that you sold to us because one of your creditors came and collected from another lokeach. This lokeach came and collected from us. So in other words, it's all a big circle. Those lekuchos are all going to go back to the mocher and they're going to say, hey mocher, you now owe us replacement karka. Then the mocher is going to say, what do you mean? That shtar that the guy used to show you that he bought karka from me was an invalid shtar, and here's a shover to prove it. So then those lekuchos are going to go back to the lokeach who stole the land from them, and they're going to pull the land back from him. So it says the Gemara, the shover in the hands of the mocher is ultimately going to be effective at preventing this type of fraud. Says the Gemara, yeah, eventually they'll go to the mocher, maybe, but in the meantime, the lokeach, who's the fraudster, is going to have eaten the peros of the karka that he sees from the other lekuchos, and we don't want that to happen either. Says the Gemara, inami lelokeach shelo b'achrayas. Or we're talking about a case where the first lokeach collected from bought without achrayas. Now, if that lokeach bought without achrayas, that means that the mocher is not guaranteeing the sale. If the moker is not guaranteeing the sale, that means that those lekuchos are never going to go back against the moker and say, hey, you deadbeat, your creditor collected from another lokeach and that lokeach collected from us, because the moker doesn't guarantee the sale. If the moker doesn't guarantee the sale and they don't go back to the moker, then they're never going to discover the moker shover. And that's why the shover is not going to be effective to prevent against this fraud. Says the Gemara, Ihachi shtore alva nami. So also, by shtore alva, By shtari alva, you shouldn't be able to do this. You shouldn't write a shover as well. So explains the Rashbam. By shtari alva nami, amai amar de kosven shover. Why do we say that we write a shover by shtari alva? Hoikulamechash nami de tarif amalve lekuchos shalacham in alove, that the malve can collect from lekuchos who bought property from the love. V'tavra biyada de lekuchos leka ela biyada love. And he'll be able to collect. Let's say the Lova borrows $100. Let's say he pays back 50. So what do we do? So we leave the Malve, according to the Man Demar, who says Koshman Shover. So we leave the Malve with the Shtar that says $100. And we write a receipt for the Lova that says he paid back 50. Now the Malve could go to Lekuchos of the Lova and say, hey, this guy owes me $100. Give me Karka worth $100. They're not going to know that the Lova already paid back 50 because they, the Lekuchos, don't have the Shover. Only the Lova has the Shover. So if this is the problem, if this is what we're afraid of, so why do we write the Shover by a Halva, says the Gemara. So says the Gemara like this, because Hasam Dezuze Masik, because the lender claims money, he wants to be repaid with money, Amri Faisi Balchov Bezuze. Therefore they'll assume that the Balchov satisfied the obligation with money. And what does this mean? Explains the Rashbam. Hasam Gabi Alvos, Kivan Dezuze Masik Be Malve Lelove, Lo Shavkile Lekuchos Karka Shalem Lamalve, Ad Sheyolchu Eitzel Alove Ladas Imperu Zuze, Mishum Demeimer Omer Lekuchos Emer Piusi Paisei Vlosi Lemishte Lemechal Peire. Because they're basically going to say, listen, the guy loaned money. He probably wants money in return. Before we go give up this karka, we're going to at least do a reality check with the Lova to make sure that he didn't pay the money back. Now, when they go to the Lova and have this conversation with him, they're going to find out that he actually has a shover. However, by the case of the lokeach actually wants to collect karka because he had karka seized from him, and since it's a karka and a karka collection, they're never going to go back to the Lova who is the mocher to see if he repaid his obligation with money, because everybody here is collecting karka. So that's why the shover is never going to come to light. So hacha de are masik midi yoda demand de masik are bezuzu lo mafayis. And that's why they're just going to give up their land without checking. And if they give up their land without checking, it's going to be a terrible fraud that's going to be perpetrated on them. Says the Gemara, Amar Mar, Chutz Menach Raya Shabo. So what we had said was that if a guy loses a shtar halva, he's up a creek. If a guy loses a shtar mekach lememkar, then we'll write a replacement shtar, but we'll write it without achrayas. So heichi kasvinan. So how do we write this shtar without achrayas? Amar Rav Nachman, the ksiva hachi, that we write as follows. Shtar adinan, de lo lemigve be, lo mim mishabdi, lo mim nechari, elaki heiche, de tekam arabiyade de lokeach. We have to write explicitly, this shtar is not intended to permit you to collect from Nechasim B'nei Chorin or Nechasim Mishabadim. It is only designed to serve as a raya that the Lokeach actually is the rightful owner of this karka. Amar Rafram, Zos Omeres, Achrayas To Sofer. This shows us that Achrayas is To Sofer, that we impute Achrayas into the shtar, that even if a shtar is silent, we assume that you intended to give Achrayas, we assume that the mocher intended to guarantee the sale from any obligor, from any creditor that might come and collect from the lokeach. V'haraya, the only reason that this shtar doesn't have achrayas is because we write expressly that the shtar doesn't have achrayas. We're writing expressly that it's only designed as a shtar raya, and it's not designed as a shtar that has achrayas. So taima de kosov leachi, olo kosov leachi gavi. because the reason that this shtar doesn't have achrayis is only because this formulation is used. If this were not written in the shtar, we would assume that it does have achrayis. Ravashi amar achrayis lavta sofer hu. So Ravashi, however, argues and says achrayis is lavta sofer, that we don't assume it's a mistake if a shtar is written without achrayis. Sometimes there are sales where the mocher is backstopping the sale. Sometimes there are sales where the mocher is not backstopping, is not guaranteeing the sale. However, Sachrayas is lav to sofer, a maichutz mechrayas shabosa. When we say over here in our Gemara that we write a star, we write a replacement star mekach, except for achrayas, it means lokse bechrayas. It just means that there is no achrayas written in. It doesn't mean that you have to write this thing that's the anti-achrayas position. In other words, if you're not going to give a guarantee, you don't have to write into the star an anti-guarantee. You're just silent on the guarantee, and then it turns out that there is no guarantee. Hay isisup. There was a woman. The Yav Le Zuze Lau Gavra Le Mizvan Le Ara. There was a woman who gave money to a man to buy karka for her, on her behalf. Uzal Zavin La Shalom Bachrayas. So the guy went and bought karka, but he bought karka Shalom Bachrayas. He bought it in a way where the mocher of the karka didn't guarantee the sale. So also Lekame to Rav Nachman. So she came before Rav Nachman and Amar Le Litkuni Shadaticha V'lo Avasi. I sent the guy to benefit me, not to my detriment. And by buying karka shelo b'achrayas, the guy is putting me in a difficult position, because if a malve of the mocher comes and collects the karka from me, I'm up a creek. I'm not going to be able to go back against the mocher and his other lekuchos, because my genius shliach bought the karka without achrayas. So Rav Nachman said like this: Zil zavna mina shelo b'achrayas, v'adar zavna nihile b'achrayas. Basically, what he told the shliach was, go buy the karka back from the woman without achrayas, and now go sell it to the woman with achrayas. In other words, Rav Nachman was saying to the shliach, you bought karka from the mocher without achrayas, and now you claim to have bought it on behalf of the woman. You, shliach, are now standing in between. You bought it without achrayas from the mocher, but you are giving the achrayas to the woman. So you, the go-between, you're now guaranteeing this karka that you bought in favor of the woman. So the Rosh explains over here what's happening. How can we just say, oh, the shliach has to give achrayas? The Rosh explains that the shliach is a shliach shelo asa shlichuso. The shliach is a shliach who never actually fulfilled the shlichus. Why? Because the woman told the shliach, go buy me a piece of karka. Every normal person knows that when you buy a piece of karka, you buy it by achrayas. This guy bought the karka without achrayas. He, it turns out, didn't do his shlichus. However, what happened is that the mocher doesn't have any money to return to the woman. So really, if he didn't do a shlichus mikra din, the whole transaction should be reversed. But the mocher didn't have any money. So we say, oh, so the mocher didn't have any money, so we'll keep this karka, but what do we do about the karka? Because the woman never got her achrayas. We view it as if the shliach bought the karka from the mocher without achrayas, and then the shliach went on and sold the karka to the woman with achrayas, so the woman gets her achrayas and her karka this way. Okay, so we'll leave off over here. We'll pick up tomorrow with the concept of Rav Moshe Gamliel, who said that if a guy gets a matana and then gives back the shtar matana, the entire matana is reversed.